Text for this morning is Mark chapter 5 and verses 1 to 20. Mark 5 and verses 1 to 20. I just read verse 15. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The boat draws up on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And if we were the inhabitants of this region watching all of this unfold, we would see a group of sailors getting out of that boat who appeared to have just had one of the greatest shocks of their lives. In fact, that wouldn't be true. They've had two of the greatest shocks of their lives because they've been in a terrible storm during the night. It was a storm that they thought they were going to die in. They were sailors who were experienced of rough nights on the Sea of Galilee. And yet what they'd just been through, this incredible storm with waves pounding onto the boat, swamping the boat, left them convinced the night before that they were going to drown. And that would have scared them. But what then they'd seen after that had left them even more afraid, because there was one person who was asleep in the boat who appeared to be entirely unperturbed by the hurricane that was raging, and it was Jesus. He'd been so busy the day before, helping, healing, teaching, that he slept in a small boat, not a big cruise liner, a small boat in the midst of a hurricane. I find it hard to sleep in a car with classic FM on, going along a smooth road with the temperature climate control thing turned up nicely. Unless I'm driving, that's easier to fall asleep then. But if I'm a passenger, I can't fall asleep. And yet here is Jesus in the midst of this chaos, this turmoil, and he's sleeping. He's either really, really tired or he's completely unafraid by the storm which is raging. But what happened next was the biggest shock for the disciple, because Jesus had woken up and he told the storm off. And we looked at that last week in chapter 4. And it was like you or me telling off some squabbling children, apart from with greater results, because the storm stopped, the wind immediately stopped, the sea immediately became like a mill pond, and the disciples were left in bewilderment and wonder, asking, who can this be? For even the winds and the waves obey him. There was only one answer to that. Nobody in the boat seems to dare to verbalize it, but this is God. And they know that God is in the boat with them, that Jesus is Lord, and the winds and the waves have heard the voice of their master, and they've obeyed him. They've submitted to his command. And the Lord has now crossed over, and he's come to visit this small, unimportant region of the Gerasenes. He's not here on a sightseeing trip. He's not here to check out the local sites and museums and things. He's here on a mission of mercy. He has crossed over the sea to find someone, to help someone. Who's he come to find? He's come to find a person that we would probably describe as the most unlikely case, the most impossible case imaginable. If there's one person in the Gerasene region, in northern Palestine, in the world, who could not be changed, surely it's the man who is now beginning to run from his home up in the mountains by the tombs down to the lake to meet Jesus. Why is he the most unlikely case? Well, you're thinking because he's a really, really evil person. He's an impossible case. He's bad. Well, he is, but rejoice in this. Here is a saviour who doesn't turn away people who are bad. Here's a person who doesn't turn away the basket cases, the most notorious, the impossible cases. He's able to save them. But he's mad, isn't he? He's not just bad. He's a person who is completely mad. He's not normal. But Christ can make people better than normal. And you see it here. What we need to be made is not to be made normal. I'll show you that later on. To be made normal doesn't actually help. We need to be made new. And we see all of this in this wonderful account. So let's look at it. As the boat ties up, Jesus disembarks, and down from the mountain runs a familiar figure. He is Legion, the bat. Imagine the disciples at this point thinking, hey, we better get back in the boat. Oh, we know about Legion. He's dangerous. He's unpredictable. I think we better get back in the boat as soon as possible because there's going to be another storm. But Jesus is not afraid. We're going to meet, first of all, Legion the miserable, and then Legion the miracle, and then Legion the missionary. So first of all, Legion the miserable. Look at the first five verses. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. He'd often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. He's a pitiful sight, isn't he? He really is. You were picturing him, weren't you, when I was reading that? You were thinking that this is a terrifying sight. Imagine living next to him. What would the inhabitants of the Gerasenes have thought of living next to him? He's subhuman. Other Gospels tell us that he runs around naked. He's covered with scars. He is unpredictable. He's dangerous. He shouts all night at the top of his voice while running round the tombs. Imagine what life was like for the neighbours. What do they think of it? Probably thought, we know they're trying to get rid of him. What does he do for house prices? When you've got a naked man leaping around the hillside, cutting himself and shouting all night, it brings the tone of the place down. But let's think about him. Okay, maybe their life was a misery. But let's think about this in an unselfish way. Let's think about what his life was like. His life must have been so miserable. He must have been the most miserable, probably most frightened person in this region. He's lonely. He's hurt. He's a slave. Mark and the gospel writers, they don't tell us how he got into this state. They don't say, well, here's a man who had an abusive father and started to drink when he was really young and then got mixed up with pornography and this is what happened. I wonder why Mark didn't tell us that. Why do you think so? You think it's probably because it's not relevant? Mark would have told us if it was relevant, and we'd have been sitting there thinking, this is what happens when you do this, this, and this. Whereas actually what Mark wants you to see is, this is what happens when Jesus comes. Even to the worst cases. And we focus on the power of Jesus, rather than just the power of sin. And turn it into some cautionary tale. Well, he is a person who's a slave. He's a slave to evil and darkness, and it's magnified, it's intensified in his case. He's called Legion because there's so many demons who control him. And I don't think that's something which is common, but I do know that to be under the influence and the power of sin is not uncommon. It might not be as graphic, it might not be as explicit as in Legion's case, but without Jesus Christ, I would be at least in the grip and the slavery of sin. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, you he made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like everybody else, under his power. Jesus, when he was speaking to some of the most respectable religious people on earth, not the moral majority, but the ones just above that, the really, really, really moral minority, the Pharisees. Jesus pointed out to them that they were completely powerless and under sin's grip. John chapter 8, verse 34, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. You and I can't control sin, it controls us. When we think we're controlling it, it's showing that it's actually controlling us and we're completely blind to it. And Jesus said to those people, it's only Christ who can set them free, verse 36. And then verse 42 of John 8, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from my Father. Why don't you understand me? It's because you can't listen to me. You are of your father, the devil. They, the most respectable, the most religious, the most moral, were under his power. I'm not talking about possession here. I'm talking about position. Without Christ, we are in the position of being under the power of darkness. And we need Christ's help just as much as Legion. Every single one of us is in the grip of a power which is too big for us to escape from. We see it so clearly in his case. He's sad, he's miserable, he's scared, he is tied up by it. But has sin ever taken us anywhere better than that? Has it done anything other, really, in our lives than leave us scared and tied up and evicted and miserable? Satan promised us the world at the beginning in Eden. He said, look, just break with God and you'll be like God. You'll get freedom. You'll get everything. And we rebelled. The human race came under sin and it hasn't given us everything. Look at society. Look at our lives. They're not happy. Not without God. They can't be. They're not fulfilled. They're not satisfied. They're not full of joy. They're not full of peace. What sin gives us is guilt and shame and pain. And if we'll only see it, judgment, because we're wrong with the God who made us. Satan's desire was never to help us. It was to destroy us. We need to be aware about that. Think about the names that he's given in Scripture. He's called the destroyer, the accuser, the liar, the murderer. If you came to see me and said, I got a new job, and I would say, what's your boss like? He said, well, yeah, he's a liar, tells lies all the time, and he accuses me, tells me to do things, and when I do it, and he turns around and he tells everybody else about it, and I think he's trying to destroy me as well, and eventually I think he's going to murder me. I'm going to say to you, you need a new job? Don't you? This isn't good. Well, I'm here to tell you, you need a new Lord. You need Jesus as Lord, because that is what Satan's plan is for us. And the only way to escape from that grip is to come to the one that we meet here in Mark chapter 5. Jesus, the Saviour, the one who sets free. It's no fun being in Satan's kingdom. It's not a joyful existence being under the power of darkness and sin. This man, Legion, he could have told you that. Can't help himself. Other people can't help him. Yet into the picture marches the one man who can, Jesus. I just find this so, so thrilling. The one who has power over the storm in chapter 4 now shows greater power in the life of a broken man. And we begin to realise that Jesus has embarked on this hazardous 8-mile crossing during the night time over that tempestuous sea in order to find and save this poor, wretched man. Actually, he's come much further than that. He hadn't just come across the lake. He's come from heaven. He's come from the Father's right hand. He's come down into the depths of a sin-ruined earth to find Legion because he loves him and he cares for him and he wants to rescue him. And if he cares for a man like this with all of his problems, with all of his baggage, with all of his background, I think you and I can work out he cares for us. We can say, if he did this for him, why not for me? Let's look secondly at Legion, the miracle then. Here we're looking at verses 6 through 15. And you've got this incredible story. I know what you're all thinking about. You're thinking about the pigs. But don't lose sight of the miracle and the wonder in the midst of all it. Stop thinking about the pigs for a moment. Look at the big thing which has happened. Because at the end of that passage, you are seeing Legion, this broken person, sat down before Jesus, and he's clothed and in his right mind. Such a transformation has taken place. Legion is not simply normal. Legion is new. As I was saying at the beginning, to be normal would be merely to be restored to the outward behavioural equivalents of the other people that we're going to meet in a minute, which would be a tragedy because they want Jesus to go. And in this world, that is normal. This man is new. An inward change has taken place. He's been taken out of Satan's kingdom and he's been put somewhere else under Jesus' reign. And Jesus is now his master and his Lord. And you're still thinking, but what about the pigs? Well, to me, that isn't the issue. What about Legion? Jesus has power and authority and ability to save this man from the tightest grip and the deepest depths of sin and darkness. Jesus has rescued him. This is my Saviour. This is the one I get to speak about. This is the one that we as believers get to speak about. Jesus, who rescues, who is mighty and powerful to save. This is my Lord, before whom the devils are impotent and they fear and they fly. And you're still thinking, what about the pigs? Okay, so 2,000 pigs perished and one man was set free. What does that say to you about the value of a human soul? I don't know how many pigs are slaughtered every year in this world. Even Google couldn't tell me that. But it did tell me that in the United States there are 160 million hogs slaughtered every single year. It will take a few million, doesn't matter when you're counting those big numbers, in order to feed the insatiable appetite for hamburgers and for bacon muffins. And surely the pigs of Gadara, they perished in a slightly more noble transaction. To Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator, the Sustainer, the owner of everything, he counted Legion's life and soul to be of greater freedom, of greater importance and value than 2,000 Gadarene saddlebacks, or whatever they might have been. But maybe there's still a sense of injustice in some of your minds and thinking, but they belonged to someone. They were somebody's property. Well, yes, ultimately they were God's property. And God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if God so wished, he could have given far more back to the farmers of the Gerasenes. And anyway, God was giving something far, far greater to the farmers of the Gerasenes, and they couldn't see it. He was giving his son, his beloved son. Almighty God had taken human flesh to be our Saviour, and it wasn't 2,000 pigs that would save Legion. Jesus Christ would give something of his own. He would give his own life in order to save Legion from his sin and God's judgment on his sin. Save millions of people like me and like Legion, who were sinners under the judgment of a holy God. It would take Christ's sacrifice of himself on the cross of Calvary, offering up his life in our place to God for our sin, to take what we deserved in order to save us. That's how Legion was saved. Not with a word, but a life. Jesus' life given up for him. Jesus' life given up for me. That is what Christ offers. That is what the Father had given this perishing world. Sin had to be paid for. God's justice has to be satisfied. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, offered himself on the cross as payment for our sin. Because he died for sinners, and he's risen again as the vindicated, victorious Saviour. Satan's grip has been broken. Satan's accusations suddenly fall flat. And his kingdom gets ransacked. God gave this Saviour to a lost world. The Lord of salvation had come to their region. And he'd shown his power. Evil had been driven out of this man in a really demonstrable way. Jesus had shown that he was king, who had power to do this. Legion had seen it. That must have been so encouraging for Legion to see those demons away from him. And yeah, okay, the pigs ran down the hillside into the abyss, but he knew they'd gone. He knew they weren't coming back. They had had to listen to the voice of Jesus. Legion was free. And the farmers had seen it. They'd seen the power of Jesus. The inhabitants of the Gerasenes see it. And what is their response? Verses 15 to 17. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told them about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. And that is the real tragedy of this story. Not the 2,000 pigs, but the response of the inhabitants of the Gerasenes. They'd seen Christ's power. They'd been confronted with a transformed man. And their response was not worship and adoration and excitement. Their response was, please leave us alone. We don't want you here. Your saving work might end up costing us more possessions. We don't want our lives turned upside down by you. We're happy with things as they were. You leave us alone, Jesus. Sinclair Ferguson says, probably another element in their rejection of Jesus is that they could see the radical transformation that he had produced in Legion's life. Did they now fear that Jesus' continued presence with them would mean a similar transformation in them? Could it be they would prefer to have Legion demon-possessed and live without Christ themselves? If so, it was they who were enslaved and in bondage to the evil one. How tragic that men, both then and now, cling to the sins that would ultimately destroy them and beg Jesus to leave them rather than change them. The challenge is simple. Do you want to go with Jesus, or do you want Jesus to go? That is the most important question you could ever answer. Yes, Jesus changes lives. He really does. He will be Saviour and Lord. There will be incredible upheaval in your life. There will be joyful, glorious, life-changing upheaval in your life if Jesus becomes your Saviour and Lord. Christ will give new life. He'll give new direction. You won't be fighting against God. You will be fighting with God against what you were and against evil and against the kingdom of darkness. You'll be fighting with God. He will give the power. He gives the Spirit. You'll be facing new challenges, new joys, new problems. Lots and lots of new problems. But God's power to survive and triumph and overcome those problems. But Jesus will not be tacked on to your life. He won't be some medallion that you wear around your neck. He won't be somebody that you just come to meet once on a Sunday. He will be Lord of your life. Or you say to him, go. Do you want to go with Jesus? Or do you want Jesus to go? Will you give your life to him, or do you want him out of your life? you want to cling to your old life without Christ, which will ultimately destroy you, or come to Christ, who alone can save you. Thirdly, we've got Legion the Missionary, verses 18 through 20. I think I'm wrong really now to still be calling him Legion, but I don't know what his name is. The man who used to be Legion. Look at him now. He wants to go with Jesus. He wants to be with him. And that is beautiful. I can understand that completely. What is even more beautiful is his response to what Jesus says. Jesus says, you can come with me now. It's better for you. Go home to your friends. Tell them about all the great things that God has done for you and how he's had compassion and mercy on you. And he departed and he began to preach in all the Decapolis everything that Jesus had done for him, and everybody was amazed. Jesus sent him out to be one of his first missionaries, and his mission field was his friends, was his family, was the people that had known him. Can we learn something from this man, Legion? Well, I think we can. We can't go with Jesus, not yet, because we've got to wait till he comes back for us to be forever with the Lord. But he will go with us, even to the end of the age. He won't leave us. May we know him empowering us, encouraging us, equipping us as we tell our families and our friends and our colleagues about the great things that the Lord has done for us and how he has had compassion on us and set us free. May we have the joy of standing beside this man and declaring the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. Because Legion would want everybody to know about Jesus, not about him. And he tells them his story so that they magnify and glorify Jesus. Please God that our lives do that as well. May exalt this great King, lift him high, magnify him. He set us free. He can set you free. Come to him with your sin, with the things you can't deal with, the baggage, the wreckage of your life. Come to this Saviour that God sent. Fall before him. Believe in him. Trust him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to own you, to be your Lord. And he won't say go. He says that to demons, go. He says come to his children. Amen.